Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring game birds and eggs from Sherwood Game Farm, raising its animals cage-free and without antibiotics, hormones, or steroids. Chicken, turkey, quail, duck, and more. The market is open Saturdays on and along 2nd Avenue in Plaza Dewey from 9 until 2.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Outhouse, honoring personal legacies and the circle of life. Allow the compassionate, caring staff at Piasecki Outhouse to take care of your funeral needs, serving the community since 1931. Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. Jack's back. Their name may have changed, but their business remains the same. Visit their historic Soda Fountain Cafe, peruse their collection of beautiful gifts, and enjoy a Kenosha institution. 2401 60th Street in Kenosha.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more from WGTD is available 24 hours a day on your desktop or laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz at WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz HD2 is available via HD radio. And in the Waukegan and Pleasant Prairie areas, the service is being broadcast temporarily over analog radio at 103.3 FM. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD and our program, Community Matters. I'm Linda Fleshinsky, the host for this week's edition of Community Matters. It's said that amazing things can happen when people of vision and energy gather together to create a new initiative for a community, such as the case with the Wild Root Market, a full-service cooperative to be created in Racine with an emphasis on natural, organic, and local foods, and featuring a deli, indoor and outdoor seating areas, a community room, and other attributes. The written purpose of Root Market is to, quote, address an unmet need in southeastern Wisconsin for an alternative to a conventional grocery store and which will provide a centralized resource for local, regional, sustainable, and organic foods. Here with us today to discuss Wild Root and the impact it will have on southeastern Wisconsin is Rose Nelson, president and director of the Wild Root Market, Marcia Bueller, the capital campaign chairperson, and Margie Mikicich, the secretary of the board. Welcome to all of you, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Well, it's a very exciting project. Let's start with you, Rose. Can you just go back to the beginning and discuss a little how the Wild Root Market concept began, and did a group of individuals brainstorm and get together, and also how did the name Wild Root Market come about?
Sure. Well, Wild Root Market literally began around a kitchen table with a group of friends, and they were dreaming of a place in Racine where they could get fresh and local food, and they were often driving to Milwaukee for that. And so they consulted with some cooperative experts in the Twin Cities, and the idea of Wild Root took hold.
And the name, was that tricky?
Well, yes, I wasn't involved in at that point, but I think the name Wild Root Market came about because Racine means root in French. Mm-hmm. We have the Root River, and so it just caught on as Wild Root Market.
Wow. So where will the Wild Root Market be located, and how did you decide on that location? There must have been benefits to it, and I think you looked first at the old Piggly Wiggly store, is that right?
Right, right. The market at 500 Walton Avenue, we decided on that location because it is perfectly sized. It's just under 12,000 square feet is what we were looking for. It has ample parking. And it's located in a neighborhood setting, which is just perfect for a co-op. Mm-hmm. So we think it's going to bring just a badly needed resource to that area. That area is actually considered a food desert because it doesn't have a grocery store mm-hmm. within a 1 mile of it.
And it was actually the USDA that declared it a food desert.
Yes,
surprised at that.
Exactly. The neighbors are very excited to have a neighborhood grocery store back in that location because there is precedent for mm-hmm. a grocery at that location. There used to be a Piggly Wiggly, not in the same location where we are at, but in the neighborhood.
And really the downtown area is really lacking a grocery
yes.
store, except for there is a Save-A-Lot, but it's quite a ways up.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So, Margie, I understand you did a feasibility study before that, or anyone who wants to answer this, that there was a feasibility study. What did that tell you about whether people are interested in this or not?
We did do a feasibility. We hired someone, an expert in grocery research, to do a market study, and they came to Racine and looked at our property and evaluated the competitive landscape in grocery. And they determined that Racine can support a natural foods grocery co-op. And they also look at the demographics of the shoppers, and they identified what is called a propensity or a natural foods propensity. So they identified that Racine has lots of folks who are interested in buying natural foods, and that, you know, our community can definitely support a natural foods co-op like Wild Root Market.
Hmm. The feasibility study came out, I think, saying almost that this was just like an ideal spot for it.
Right, that's true. There were, you know, we looked at very many other spots, but there were no other spots that were entirely feasible that would, you know, yield more sales.
Mm-hmm. And as a food cooperative, you're sort of similar to the Outpost in Milwaukee, I think, but we have owner investors. Is that what that's called, Marcia?
Yes. Well, we are a food cooperative, and so is Outpost. So in that sense, we follow the same business model. And co-ops now, you know, the primary way that they raise funds for new startups and expansions of existing stores is to reach out to their owners for loans. And so we just launched our first capital campaign this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have over 1,000 owners now. So
wow.
We're reaching out. We're in that process of reaching out to them and explaining our loan program and, you know, why they would want to participate in that.
So just for our listeners, because it's kind of tricky, I had to think about it a little bit myself, but people are basically lending you money. And then they get dividends. Is that correct?
They earn interest. So,
okay.
Yes, they are making loans to us. And there's various terms from 5 years to 10 years. And they can decide, you know, how long they want it to go before they get their loan paid back. And depending on how much they loan, there's a variety of interest rates that are also applicable.
Okay. And you said this interest rate is actually should be more attractive for people than what they would get from a bank or a lending institution.
Yes, well, it's definitely more attractive than what you'd find with a typical savings account or a CD. So, you know, that makes it a very attractive investment for our owners. There is, of course, associated risk with this. We are a startup, and, you know, we're not in business yet. We don't have that track record. But we, you know, as Margie was explaining, we've done these market studies. You know, we've worked with consultants who are experts in this. We've worked with the Outpost. You know, we have literally consulted everybody we can possibly think of to look at our pro forma, to, you know, help us evaluate the project. And, you know, all systems go as far as all of those experts and processes. So we're as confident as we can be that mm-hmm. the store will be a success, but of course, you know, there's no guarantee with any new business.
Right, right. So, lender is actually taking somewhat of a risk because if it fails, I assume they don't get their money back. But again, we're not expecting failure. Expecting this to
right.
be, every indication is that this should be a very exciting thing. Tell me about how you see the food cooperative, how you see Wild Root looking. You know, what will be there in that 7,000? It's going to be, I understand, 11,000 square feet, and 7,000 of that, or 7,700 of that, will be retail space. So how do you see this if you're trying to create a picture for our listeners?
Well, we're going to be a full-service grocery store. So we're going to offer everything from bananas to paper towels. Our focus is going to be on local food, where we can get it, but you know, clearly we can't get bananas locally, so we won't be getting those. But as much as we can get locally, we will. We're also focusing on natural and organic food where we can. But we will have a mix of some conventional foods as well, because we want the store to be accessible to everyone.
Okay.
So, well, one thing I do want to make clear is you don't have to be an owner to shop at the store.
I was just going to ask you that.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You don't have to be an owner to shop at the store. You do have to be an owner to participate in the owner investment program that Marcia is running.
Right.
But not to shop. Anyone, yes. Everyone is welcome.
Uh-huh. I've been talking to people about this, just asking them what they think about it. And a lot of people still have the misconception that you have to be an owner to shop there, and I keep saying, oh, no.
No, not at all. We like to say that everyone's welcome, and, you know, it'll be a feel-good neighborhood place that's friendly and welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also anticipating, you know, some other things, like we're going to have a deli and a cafe. There'll be some a seating area for people that want to, you know, have coffee or lunch, and outdoor seating when the weather is good for that, so... You know, if anybody has been to the Outpost or another co-op, you know, they have a vibe.
Right.
And, you know, right. we are very much looking forward to creating a local grocery store that has that really welcoming, neighborhood-friendly, healthy kind of vibe. So,
right.
Yeah.
An important plan, I think, a part of this plan would be developing a marketing plan. Have you done that, or are you considering that, a marketing plan as far as multimedia to get the information out?
We do have a marketing plan in place, but we are in the process of hiring our general manager as well. So the general manager will dictate much of the marketing plan because the general manager will be an experienced grocery professional, hopefully with experience in co-ops specifically. And they will hire a professional staff to help them with that.
Are you expecting that general manager will be someone in the area, or you might be finding someone from outside of the area?
We conducted a national search, Linda.
Okay.
So, and at this point, we've completed preliminary screenings, and we're about to move into more of a final selection process.
Okay. Are you also looking for a... maybe a PR person aside from the general manager?
The general manager will be responsible for hiring all of the staff, and he or she will report to the board.
Okay.
So, yes, we will hire, you know, a marketing professional.
Mm-hmm. And just to be devil's advocate for a second, because I've talked to a lot of people, and it's certainly a very ambitious program you're setting out there. So, I'm just asking a question I've heard others ask. Since there seem to be multiple grocery entities in Racine, and since those stores often do provide some organic options, is there enough of a market for this expansive program?
Well, that's a great question, and I appreciate the question. The grocery landscape is certainly changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's changing nationwide. But there's definitely a market for this sort of store. This is, again, as Marcia said, it's a friendly neighborhood store, yet somewhere where you can do all of your shopping.
Yes.
It's not, you know, just a convenience store or a specialty store. We do have a built-in market with our owners, which we're at 1,000 owners now, which, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but I think that's pretty impressive that we have 1,000 owners and we don't even have a store open yet. Yeah, I think that's pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
So, you know, we do have that as well. And our market study addressed that. Our market study They were very tough. They address all the competition, mm-hmm. and they understand that we've just recently redone our market study in August of this year, and so it took into account that changing grocery landscape.
Great. And I noticed that Kenosha has developed a store, a Fresh Thyme store. Have you met with them or communicated with them?
No, we haven't. Fresh Thyme is a different model. Okay. You know, it's a great store, as I understand mm-hmm. it, but it's a different model. They are a corporate-owned store. It's different than a
right.
community-owned store. So their profits are, I don't know where Fresh Thyme mm-hmm. is, corporate headquarters are,
sure.
but their profits are going to shareholders that are far away.
Yeah.
Our profits are going to the people who own our store, which are right here in our
mm-hmm.
community.
But the success of Fresh Thyme and Outpost, which I read has been in business for 40 years,
yes.
I think,
yes.
must give you a lot of hope that in this area where there seems to be such a need that it will be successful.
Yeah, it does, definitely. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have the Outpost, and their team, their general manager, Pam Maynard, has mentored us every step of the way, and she's offered to mentor our incoming GM moving forward. So that's quite a bit of confidence.
Uh-huh. She's already made a loan.
Wow.
Oh, yes, she is an owner of Wild Root Market.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
So, and she has already made a loan.
Yeah, and I read that she actually is encouraging their clientele to come when you get going and support you by being an owner if
yes.
they want.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a wonderful principle in the cooperative world. It's cooperation among co-ops.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I understand that to move forward, though, you do need a significant financial investment to the tune of $1.125 million by November 19th, and then a total of $4.8 million. That's pretty significant, and do you anticipate reaching that by November?
That is certainly our goal, and we don't see any reason why we won't.
Great.
You know, based on what other co-ops have done and the fact that we have now just over 1,000 owners, you know, we definitely have the potential to reach that goal, you know, in the next 8 weeks. And I have to say, we are off to such an amazing start. As of today, we're at $132,500.
Oh, my gosh.
We've already had 28 people step forward and commit to making loans, you know, really just either before or, you know, in the first couple of days of kicking this off. So, I mean, we've barely begun at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, statistics tell us that of our 1,000 owners, we need about 25% participation.
Okay.
And an average loan of about $4,500.
Okay.
So, you know, that doesn't seem too impossible to me. I think that's really doable.
Yeah.
And so we're very confident that we're going to get there.
What do you you need business support, I'm sure, and grants also. Do you have a grant writer, by the way, or you just write your own grants?
Well, you know, grants are tricky for us because mm-hmm. we're not a nonprofit.
Right.
We will be a for-profit business,
mm-hmm.
but in the cooperative world, it's called not for excess profit.
So
our profit will go back to our owners and then also back to the community in support of projects that will help the community.
But
so,
you received a $10,000 seed grant, right?
Yes, we did. And that was from a national cooperative association called Food Co-op Initiative. We're very grateful to them for that. And they have provided us with guidance and mentorship as part of that grant as well. And we
That's
take full
wonderful.
Advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. I read that they called Wild Root one of the strongest startups in the U.S.
Isn't that amazing?
That was
I know.
Amazing.
And there's 140 startups across the United States, food co-op startups across
wow.
the United States. So
you're one of the strongest.
Yes, that's pretty amazing, right?
It is pretty amazing. Let's go to where those funds will be used. You've purchased an existing building, is that correct? But that building will have to be renovated and added on to, or no?
No, just renovated.
Okay.
Right. But there's significant renovation to be done there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that building, but a lot of people tell me, oh, my eye doctor was at that building or took my children to the pediatrician there. But so it's been vacant for quite some time. So there's significant renovation. And then, as you can imagine, in a grocery store, there's significant equipment purchase to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So so that makes up part of the budget. But the I believe it's $4.6
million. Okay.
The $4.6 million includes everything from our staffing to our startup costs to our
salaries.
Marketing budget, salaries,
okay.
inventory, everything. So
okay.
that's all in.
So that's an all-inclusive
yes.
price. And what do you anticipate as a profit margin for a building? I think that there was something about for 7,000 square feet. Well, anyway, that's all built into what you're...
Oh, yes. We have a professional pro forma that has been done by our finance chair, who is a CFO at a local Kenosha company,
okay.
and or Pleasant Prairie company. And she has worked with the experts from CDS Consulting Co-op
right.
to refine that pro forma. And it's a little over my head. I'm not a finance person, but I'm really glad we have a strong finance team in place.
And are you seeking or will you be seeking business support?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because we have just recently partnered with a cooperative development fund of cooperative development services to accept tax-deductible donations on our behalf. Because
okay, and that's good for our listeners to know.
Yes.
So even though you're not a for-profit, you can donate if anyone out there would like to donate
yes,
to this enterprise.
Absolutely.
They can donate because the donations go through, not you exactly.
But a 501c3 called Cooperative Development Fund, yes. So we're very excited to have that in place. And we do have business owners. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, businesses can be an owner. And in the co-op world, you know, one owner is the same as the next.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, no one is higher than another. One share and is one owner and one vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you anticipate sending out cards or, you know, informative mailings to people to encourage them to donate or to become an owner?
Well, it's two separate things. So our solicitation of ownership is an ongoing process, and we do that, you know, in many different ways through outreach and events and Facebook. You know, we're always looking for more owners. The owner investment program is a little bit separate because by law that is only available to people who are owners. And we are not allowed to say to somebody, hey, do you want to be in the investment program? Why don't you become an owner? It has to be two separate things.
Okay.
So we're very conscious of separating those two efforts. Owner recruitment is one thing, and the owner investment program is another thing. So I don't know if
okay.
that...
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then donations are mm-hmm. another thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
donations can be made by anyone,
okay.
owners or non-owners,
uh-huh.
companies, anyone.
Right.
That's great. When do you guys expect to open?
That's a very exciting question. And, it's about a year from now, so fall
okay.
2018.
Fantastic. And you'll have like a deli also and indoor-outdoor seating. And does Wild Roots want to run the deli, or is it possible that you may find someone who does delis to come in? Or?
Well, we'll have a trained staff,
mm-hmm.
you know, under the general manager. And the deli will consist mostly of grab-and-go items, prepared foods. We'll have a hot bar and a cold bar. We will have a full kitchen
okay.
in the co-op. So these will be homemade items.
Were you all at the kickoff?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
The whole board.
Tell us a little about what the kickoff was like. It sounded exciting. I was actually still visiting family out in Utah. So,
yeah, well, the kickoff was really a big celebration of our success to date and having identified a site. We had a really great turnout. Was it 100 people, Marcia?
At least 100 people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The room was
standing
packed.
Yeah. So we were thrilled that our owners turned out in full force.
Mm-hmm.
Marcia put together a wonderful video kind of showcasing our owners and elements of the owner investment program. We had live music. That was wonderful. Terrific food. So the sense of energy and enthusiasm in the room was really compelling, very exciting. Yes, and we got very good feedback from everybody. Mm-hmm. Good time.
Yep. We did. And we held it at Dewey's in downtown Racine, and they are an owner of Wild Root Market as well, because we like to support our owners where we can.
Did you say what is the minimum to be an owner, the minimum you can donate to be an
owner? Well, it's a share price of $200.
Okay, per share, $200 per share. So, okay. It must have been a big boost for you guys to have the city endorse this effort. I don't know if any money came with that, but are you also seeking or receiving county support, and how did the city support come about?
Well, the city supported us through the rezoning effort. We had to have the property rezoned so that we could operate a grocery store there. And the county has been involved as well since the beginning and has been very supportive. We do hope that we are able to work with them for some funding for the project.
Great. And United Way can't, I'm sure, because they support nonprofits, so it's probably not an issue there. You guys have been so mission-driven and so organized from everything that I read. So I'm going to read this mission statement. Mm-hmm. Our mission is to enhance the quality of life and economic vitality of southeastern Wisconsin through the sustainable operation of a full-service, cooperatively owned grocery store. As a food co-op, we are committed to serving our community, employees, and member owners while working as part of a stronger local food system. That's a really compelling mission statement. Maybe you've changed it since then. I don't know, but
no,
I know they're always kind of tweaking statements. So underneath this, for our listeners, they also list a number of purposes, and it's nice, five different purposes, and there are more than that, I'm sure, but one of them is meeting the needs of local farmers, local producers, and service providers. So can you tell me what that means? How will you support the needs of local farmers, producers, and service providers?
Well, one of the obvious answers is that the Wild Root Market store will provide a venue for those farmers and producers to sell their products.
Okay. And what about service providers? Who is that, and what does that entail?
Well, you know, it would be the same. Our mission is local, and so we try to support local wherever we can.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, with the construction, we are working with Butterfield Rudy and Sites,
yes,
a local architect. We're also working with Bukacek Construction,
mm-hmm,
for the project, and they've both been just wonderful to work with.
Yeah, that was really nice to see that the advisors, so many of the ones that you're getting, and people who are being paid to work for the building and everything are local.
Yes, that's very important to us.
What will your hours of operation be? Have you decided that? Or?
Well, right now I think the hours of operation look to be about 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay.
But, of course, that may change when the general manager comes in.
Yeah, right. A lot of these decisions, I know, will come with the general manager.
Right.
Do you expect that to be closer to the startup that you have a general manager, or do you think it'll be sooner than that?
We would like to have the general manager on board at least 9 months, about 9 to 12 months before opening.
Okay.
Because the general manager will be integral in some of the important programming decisions, menu items, and the store design as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, Margie, your committee, the general manager search committee, has a pool of very strong candidates. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. And so right now our timeline would be ideally to bring a general manager on board, say, in the first quarter of 2018.
Okay. That's great. Yeah, I would think that the pre-planning is, in some cases, more as important, at least, as the startup. So that's great. Another one of the purposes is I'll read it from the thing, to provide good jobs at honest wages for local residents. So you're looking to serve that need too. And how do you know you're providing, great wages or
Well, we call it living wages. And, you know, I think that there's statistics and information about what that entails. But, you know, our goal is to make sure that our employees are able to live comfortably on mm-hmm. what they earn, and that their benefits also, you know, provide what they need. So, you know, that co-ops in general just care a lot about those sorts of things.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. as Rose mentioned earlier, you know, our goal, yes, is to remain a profitable business, but not excessively profitable. So to the extent that our profit can go back into better wages and benefits for our employees, mm-hmm. Programming for the city and residents, and, of course, you know, rebates to our owners, mm-hmm. that's really our mission, you know, as far as profit goes, to
right.
spend it wisely.
That's well said. How many employees approximately do you anticipate needing at Wildroot? You may not know that yet.
Well, our business model allows for about 40 full-time, 40 employees at startup, and I believe it's 20 full-time and 20 part-time.
Part-time. Very nice. So it's really providing jobs in
yes.
that area,
yes.
too, and in our larger area
right.
as well.
Right.
I like the sound of this purpose. It was how Wildroot will be a hub for education, cooperation, wellness, and advocacy in support of good food and a healthy community. Tell us a little bit about that. What is it? We haven't really talked a lot about food and health and how people eat.
Yeah. Well, there are 7 cooperative principles that most co-ops around the world adhere to, and one of them is education. So I think that value talks about the co-op being a hub for education. But we also talk about the co-op as being more than groceries. So it's really about bringing people together, building community, and as you mentioned, kind of highlighting the link between good food and healthy community. Mm-hmm. And so we see the Wildroot Market as being a hub in Racine to bring people together to learn and to learn about cooking, healthy eating, healthy community, and just strengthening, you know, the backbone of our community.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think it's so easy in our culture to eat unhealthy? Go get a big chocolate donut filled with cream.
Right, right. So, you know, you can stop by the co-op when we're open and
yep.
pick up something healthy for breakfast or for lunch then
right.
instead.
Right. And then you list a purpose as Wildroot being a hub for education. But as part of that, you have a community room, a community area. What is the purpose of having that included in this square footage?
So the community room will be a place where we can hold cooking classes, where the neighborhood will be able to use the room for meetings, where it can be spillover space for the cafe. We'd like to do a lot of things in the community room just around the idea of education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, there's nothing specific now, but mostly – you know, we have ideas from other co-ops, like shopping the co-op on a budget, is a great program that they have. You know, five under five, so you can make a healthy meal, you know, with 5 ingredients for under $5.
Wow.
Or, cooking with children and, you know, how to teach them about healthy foods, things like that.
Would you see yourself encouraging other groups that do things with healthy eating and healthy living to use that room?
Yes. You know, it's funny that you asked that because we already do partner with, like, the UW Extension and others. We've, you know, worked with Eat Right Racine and Racine Urban Garden Network to offer programs like that. It'll just be a lot easier to do it once we have a space.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And do you envision charging for the use of that room?
Well, I don't know that answer.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that would be up to the
general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And another purpose that I thought is so near and dear to our hearts is supporting a more sustainable community where resources are not depleted, polluted, or destroyed. I was like, yes, that's good.
That is good.
What does that speak to?
Well, yeah, co-ops across the country are committed to sustainability in general, and food co-ops generally have a really great performance record in terms of recycling paper and plastic and using as much as possible green energy practices. And so definitely that's important to our board, is that we're also committed to sustainability and being good stewards of the environment.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is and so great and so important.
Definitely. And as our design is moving forward, we have recently formed a sustainability advisory committee. Mm. And that committee is comprised of a board member and several of our owners who are very interested in sustainability. And they're working with our design team just to make sure as many green practices that are possible are incorporated into the project.
Yeah, that's just super important and really, yes. really wonderful thing. I think mm-hmm. people feel better shopping at a place like that.
Right.
So. Margie, you're on the board, right?
And yes, I yes. am. Board secretary.
So they have a board. Wild Earth has a board. And how many board members do you have or do you expect to have? And what kind of is the role of the board in a for-profit?
Sure. We currently have 6 members on our board. We do have discussions about perhaps expanding that to say 7 or 9 board members, but we're currently at 6. And the role of the board, right now we're a working board, mm-hmm. But we will be transitioning very soon to what's called a governance board. Uh-huh. We'll be using policy governance, and the general manager of our store will report to the board of directors. So the board of directors will be responsible for identifying all of our the goals for our organization, so defining the organizational outcomes that we desire. And then it will be the general manager's job to make all of the operational decisions that would achieve those goals.
Excellent. If somebody's interested in being on your board, should they contact you and how?
Yeah, definitely. I would suggest that they would reach out to Rose as our board president, and Rose can be reached by email at...
Or can they go to wildroot.com?
They yes. can. They can go on our volunteer page, and under that there's a wide variety of volunteer roles that we're happy to fill, but also one of the selections is to serve on the board of directors, and then we'll get in touch with you.
Okay. And is there a phone number if someone wants to talk to you before they make these decisions? Is there a phone number on the
Sure.
website?
We have an office number. It's 262-770-5114.
5114. I'll do that again for our listeners. 262-770-5114. If you would like to talk to someone about this whole venture and if you'd like to be involved, that's the number to call. If I know you've been so organized, I think that you wanted to mention something about upcoming events. Is there anything upcoming, or if there, you know, if you're not sure of dates and things, can they find it?
Yes, definitely on our website. Pardon me. But we do have, twice monthly, we have something that we call Coffee with the Co-op, or Happy Hour with the Co-op, depending on what time of day it is. Mm-hmm. And that's a great way. It's an informal time to come, stop in, chat with members of the board of the co-op. And it's at various locations around the city. We, of course, like to frequent our owners, so we often have them at Business Owners of Wild Root Market. And we also have a book club called Novel Noshes, and the Novel Noshes group reads a fiction book one time and then a nonfiction book the next
nice.
Time. So it's a really fun group. And both those events, those are ongoing events, can be found on our website. And then, you know, there's various other events that we participate in that they can also find on our website.
Right. Is that book club, where does that meet?
Well, we were meeting at Wild Root Market Owner Uncorked for a while.
Okay.
It's in partnership with the Racine Public Library, so we've met there before. But we've recently, because of the owner investment program and capital campaign kickoff, we have recently opened our leased office space And so it's at our offices, which are at 201 6th Street.
Oh.
So it's in the Janes building right above Dewey's.
Right above Dewey's.
Yes.
Okay, so for our listeners, if you want to be in this book club, look on wildroot.com or any other information that you'd like to do, or if you'd like to be an owner, you could go to wildroot.com or call the phone number 770-5114.
Actually, just let me, it's wildrootmarket.com.
Oh, thank you. Wildrootmarket.com. Forget right. what I said. Wildrootmarket.com. Thank you for that, Marcia. Maybe each of you would like to take a couple minutes to say how optimistic you are about Wild Root or any message you'd like to send out to the community.
Well, I'll start. I'm extremely optimistic. I've been involved with this project since 2012, and I served on the board for 3 years, and since then I've remained involved helping with communications and now chairing the capital campaign. And so I was involved, when we had a different site that we were targeting, and, you know, we were not able to go through with that, and so, you know.
Was that the Piggly Wiggly site?
That was, yeah. So, you know, I'm one of those owners. I was a founding owner. I joined in the first month, and, you know, was so excited from the very beginning for this project. So I'm one of those owners that has really hung in here since the very beginning, and I can't tell you how exciting it is to finally turn the corner and have a great site, you know, that just seems so perfect. It was so worth the wait. I think a lot of people out there, you know, who've been hanging on as long as I have wondered, is this really ever going to happen? Mm-hmm. And, you know, having been involved in it, you know, in as deeply as I've been, I've always known it was going to happen. It was just a matter of when, and that the board has been, you know, taking their time, making sure that everything is
yes.
is well researched, and that we aren't, you know, jumping ahead too quickly. So, you know, I have every confidence that this is going to be successful. I've invested already myself, and you know, I can say to anybody that's considering investing that, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for Racine and for us to put our money to work in a place where we can see it every day and know what's happening and take pride in that.
Mm-hmm. Great summary. Margie, anything that you'd like to add for our listeners?
Like Marcia, I am also a founding owner. As soon as I heard about Wild Root Market, I was like, yes, sign me up. I thought it was the most exciting food news in Racine since I'd moved there. And, you know, since the beginning, we've all been saying, we can't wait to shop at the market.
I know.
And the closer we get, sort of the more exciting that gets. It's, mm-hmm. You know, it's within our reach. It's next year.
Feels like it's right around the corner, finally.
Right. And so, and what's wonderful about our co-op is it's not just the store, but it's the people. And so it's so wonderful when we're out and we bump into other owners and we're just we kind of look forward, like, won't it be great when we can meet in the aisles of Wild Root Market?
Right. Yeah. You may sell some other things, I would imagine, or maybe not. Do you think that you'll sell greeting cards or other things?
Yes. Well, so we'll be a full service grocery store, but we will have some household cleaning products. We'll have personal care items, and yes, I hope that we'll have some greeting cards.
Rose.
Well, I kind of feel like the odd child out because I'm not a founding owner, but I am a pioneering owner, and that's anyone who joins before the store is open is called a pioneering owner.
Right.
So, I got involved actually in Wild Root Market selfishly because I was driving up to Outpost a couple of times a week and got really tired of doing that, right. although I love the Outpost very much. Got real tired of doing that. And so when I heard about the Wild Root Market, I was super excited, got involved right away, joined right away. And then it's, you know, once you get involved in the co-op world and you start hearing about all the amazing things that co-ops can do for their communities, you're hooked, you know.
Absolutely.
It's they just are wonderful additions to any community.
Oh, well said. You know, healthy eating is just so important when it's so easy to live in this culture and not eat in a healthy way. So you've all just summarized everything so beautifully. I'm all excited.
Oh,
I'm sure our listeners are too. Will Allen, CEO of the Milwaukee-based Growing Power, wrote the following. We cannot have healthy communities without a healthy food system, and ultimately, it is the responsibility of the individual and the great